What's Always Drink the Good Stuff?
It's about food, art, travel, music, culture, lifestyle. It's interesting conversations with interesting people. And yes, sometimes it's even about drinking the good stuff.
A trailblazing winery owner and winemaker who knows what it takes to put not only her own winery on the world map, but the entire wine industry, Armenian wine industry, on the world map. Welcome, Victoria, to Always Drink the Good Stuff. Good to have you here with us. Thank you for coming.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
My pleasure. It's all true. I've seen your work. I've seen your how you do things. You get things done. And that's what we need more of. We need more of you.
Thank you.
You're here visiting us from Los Angeles for a specific reason. Why are you here specifically?
Well, several reasons. Work-wise, just tomorrow is Guinea Fest. So we're going to be participating yet again. And, you know, such events are so important to help us promote the wine, keep reminding people of all of the novelty that's coming out of Armenia and the quality. So it's a pleasure to participate. And of course, pre-holidays, just work the market and get the word out there.
And you do that very well, indeed. You're the owner and CEO of Armas Golden Winery. Tell us about your winery, please.
Well, we're certainly among the first that started the renaissance of Armenian wine, proudly among the founders. We started in 2007 when my father purchased 150 hectares, which is around 400 acres of land, at which time that land was only rocks, absolutely no infrastructure, but as the French say, the best terroir, the best climatic conditions of growing the grapes, the best soil. So despite countless difficulties, that particular site was chosen, and we've been having agricultural development and construction ever since, nonstop, till this day. Till this day, we have construction and development going on, and we have proudly already planted 100 hectares of vineyards, 40 hectares of orchards scattered all throughout the estate, peaches, plums, apricots, cherries. So the flavors and aromas of these fruits go through the soil to the vines, making the grapes and forthcoming wines that much more interesting. They also make incredible dried fruits.
Yes, I've had some of those.
Yes, I brought you some today as well.
Oh, thank you.
From this season.
Oh, wonderful. Good. They're delicious. I enjoyed them last time as well.
Thank you. Thank you. And of course, we built a world-class winery and distillery. I mean, truly state-of-the-art. 35 Italians lived in Armenia for 4 years. 2 years for ongoing construction, 2 years for ongoing trainings, not to mention the countless specialists that we've had visit all throughout the years. And to this day, our winemaker, who's the maestro in the cellar, Emilio Del Medico, has been with us since our very first vintage, 2012. Since then, we've also opened our tasting room, and we've had tens and thousands of guests from all over the world, allowing them to see the path of the grape to the glass. So we tour the vineyards, the winery, the tasting room. Currently, we have 15 wines that we've created, wow. 13 of which are on the market, 9 under the Armas brand, which, by the way, is short for Armen Aslanian. My father, my great-grandfather, who was the original winemaker in our family, he was the village winemaker, so in a very different capacity than what we're doing. But, you know, in a way, as much as our country is having this renaissance of Armenian wine, our family is also having a revival of legacy. Soon, even though I've been saying this for a year, honestly, we will also finally have our brandy on the market. But I get to prolong that because the longer it stays in the barrel, the better it gets. Next year, we're going to have a grand opening of an event hall where we can host well over 250 people with a dance floor and stage overlooking the vineyards and Mount Ararat looking back at us. I mean, the view is incredible, and I will say it's not just the magical, I mean, beauty of the estate, because it truly is stunning, but there's a certain aura there that no matter what, just as soon as those gates open, you know, I get goosebumps even thinking about it. And that's absolutely what took me, to Armenia. You know, as you know, I grew up here, but I visited Armenia very often. I never saw myself living there. But the first day that I stepped foot at Armas, which was about a year after my father had started, it felt like a calling. This is where I need to be. This is where I want to be. This is part of my path.
And that's your passion now.
Absolutely. And by the way, our second brand, yes, that we a few years ago we released, and now we have five wines from the Kishk brand, not Gishk, but Kishk, which means passion in Armenian.
Okay.
So Armas is our name and Kishk is our approach.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
And where is the Armas Winery located?
It's in the Aragats-Otan province, which is 40 kilometers northwest of Yerevan, which is about 40 minutes. Now there's some construction on the road, so soon it'll be 30 minutes. Absolutely. Smooth sailing. It's a very nice road.
What inspired your father to get back into the family vocation or family business, I should say?
Well, in 2007, early 2007, when I told him he's expecting his very first grandchild,
oh, wow. Okay.
My son, who is also Armas, so, you know, he decided to repatriate back to Armenia and literally plant some roots and watch them grow. But, of course, he wanted to do something that his kids and soon grandkids would and will continue. But he wanted to do something that, of course, was going to have a massive positive impact in his capacity, of course, on the country. And certainly this industry does that and more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't overemphasize the importance of the growth and development of this industry because it involves so much of what we need as a nation, as a country, right? Agricultural development, job placement, production, export, tourism, cultural standards held high. But and really, what a beautiful way to speak about our soil and our resilient soul. So it is amazing. But it's not just about what we need. It's also about what we can share with the world. You know, and once people are introduced to this history, this heritage, this terroir, these native grape varieties, and absolutely this really inspiring story of the Renaissance of Armenian wine, People get excited. They value something with history, but they also want some novelty, and we can give that to them.
Absolutely.
And elegant wines. And, you know, we can enjoy it with pride. So, and on top of it, absolutely, wine tourism as well. You know, to grow that puts Armenia on the map in a different way. And a correlated and fabulous way. And I have no doubt, and that's certainly what we've been working towards, I have no doubt that Armenian wine will be among the most recognized, high-quality wine-producing regions in the world and absolutely among the most beloved wine tourism regions in the world. And we absolutely have the infrastructure for it, not to mention the very unique Armenian hospitality, which anyone who's visited knows, has experienced, and enjoyed. So,
absolutely, with your passion and your commitment, no question about it. What are some of the varietals you guys grow?
We focus on four main grape varieties. Two of which were born in Armenia, so indigenous native grape varieties, ancient grape varieties rather, Areni and Voskehat, and two grape varieties that were created in Armenia, Kangun and Karmrahyut. Now, with the exception of Areni, all of our wines are estate bottled, meaning they are grown in our estate. And the reason why Areni is the only grape that we purchase, even though we also grow some in our estate, but for our single variety, Areni and Areni Reserve, only from the Vajot-Zhol region because of our respect for terroir. That native grape variety thrives in that soil. Kangun, Karmrahyut, Voskehat thrive in Aragats-Otan. I will say, though, whenever I'm speaking of grapes and native grape varieties that thrive in their own soil, I would say that it can be also said of people. Some people's souls thrive in their native soil. Mm-hmm. And I can say for the past 15 years, that's certainly been the case for me.
Why did your father select Aragats-Otan region?
Terroir. Terroir and somewhat coincidence. You know, somewhat coincidence. It was offered to him. And then, of course, he started doing soil analyses and then tried to kind of cut and paste to make a grand estate, purchasing from government, from people, et cetera, et cetera. But first and foremost, it was because of the soil. And secondly, because of the proximity to the city. Because, you know, what's 40 minutes,
right?
Especially when you're from LA.
Correct.
So we always had the plan of developing wine tourism, and I know that he came up with this idea when we visited Napa Valley together many, many years ago when I was living in San Francisco, and it was a trip. I mean, I remember him just, you know, looking and thinking. I'm like, what are you thinking? Nothing. Unlike me, he doesn't speak much. He just does. And also unlike me, he doesn't drink either at all.
Really?
Yeah. I drink and speak enough for both of us.
All right.
Yeah.
But that's quite a passion. No, because I will come to that point about having places like Napa Valley, Paso Robles, Santa Barbara in Armenia, because I will come to that point, because we have the topography, we have the lands, we have the grapes, we have the wines, we have the winemakers. We just have to make it more attractive for people to come and spend the night there instead of going there in the morning, coming back in the afternoon.
Right. But again, when we're talking about 30, 40 minutes, it's not a big deal. But for instance, at Armas, we have a boutique hotel. So people can come and stay there. And, you know, I think there's so much to be said about authenticity. So if you're going outside of Yerevan, right? I mean, there's so much to see in the villages, a cute little B&B. So, Armas, we have our own. But you're always going to find quality or at least authentic, interesting lodging, especially if we're speaking about a night or two. And more, and you know, much to our excitement, all throughout the country, there is so much development. The service industry keeps on developing better and better, both restaurants, hospitality, hotels, you name it. So it's there. The infrastructure exists. You want to visit, you can come and have absolutely what you have and want. And we've created these experiences.
Right.
And also, unlike, for instance, Napa Valley or some of the more established, well-known wineries. When you go to these wineries, you get to meet the people.
Well, that's true.
Which is, it's not a small thing. You know, people who've put their hearts and souls and time, life, what is time? It's our life. We put that in there. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a treat because they get firsthand introduction and they see the people who have created the place and also the wines and spirits that they will be enjoying. So, I mean, I invite everyone to visit, whoever hasn't, and whoever has, we want to see you again. And more, another thing that's happening, which I think is also great for all of us, is this idea of destination events, destination weddings. People can come and have this gorgeous setting, just stunning, and certainly at a fraction of the cost, but in no way of lesser quality. You know, we have a fantastic phrase in Armenian, which I love. Shut ekang, ush ekang, shut sovoretsing. You know, we might have come a little bit late into the game, but we're quick learners. It's part of our spirit. It really
is. Hospitality certainly has been throughout our history.
Right. But not just hospitality. The fact of, like, when we see and understand something of quality, we immediately know how to do that, or we learn how to do that, and then we do it well, and then perhaps even better.
How many cases you're producing right now?
Depends on the year. So every vintage is different. We look at the market, and also, of course, we have many, many long-term goals. So a predominant chunk of our grapes goes for brandy. And for a fantastic bottle of brandy, you have to wait at least 10 years and then keep the rest, the age, et cetera, et cetera. So it can be anywhere between 50,000 to 200,000 bottles a year. But the winery has 1.3 million bottle capacity.
Wow.
So, of course, a huge chunk of that goes for brandy production. But one of the things that we've been doing recently for several years now, actually, which is also a really positive thing for the industry, is that because we have A to Z scope of operations in our winery, and we have well over a million liter capacity, not even counting the barrels, and state-of-the-art equipment, etc. So if someone wants to have their wine brand and they don't want to invest millions or tens of millions, whether it be in the winery or in the agriculture, developing vineyards, which is incredibly difficult. And I'll share a few stories about that in a little bit. But they can basically either, in a sense, sublet part of the winery or bring us their grapes, purchase grapes from us, purchase grapes from someone else and bring it to the winery, and then we create a wine for them, or ask us to make a special blend for them, or just the bottling and packaging, or this or that. So basically, people who have this passion and intention to produce quality wines and don't want to have this massive overhead and production investment, they can just outsource these services. They can choose to grow their grapes or purchase mm-hmm. them and have their brand and then enjoy the best part, which is going around the world and introducing
bragging
it and
about
enjoy.
It.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, you know, and very often we're asked, who are your competitors? I say, well, it depends on where you ask me. If we're talking about a former Soviet Union, Georgia. If we're talking about the rest of the world, France, Italy, Chile, California, etc., but certainly not Armenians, not other Armenian producers. For sure, the local market currently is super saturated.
It is, yes. In Armenia.
Right, in Armenia. But throughout the world, we are a drop in the ocean. Even if we developed every single part of the arable land that we have mm-hmm. in Armenia and created wines, only wines with that, we still wouldn't make a dent in the world market share. So the saturation in the local market certainly helps in a certain way. I look at it in the positive way, which is it creates a healthy competition in that every producer is, you know, of course, needs to, must always excel themselves, always hit the price-quality ratio off the mark, just excel in that, but also get creative. Get creative because now you know people have choices and they understand the differences. Worldwide, it, especially, of course, we're talking about quality wines. It helps because certainly not Armas, not Karas, not Vanardi, not Alexandria. No one can be everywhere.
Right.
But, you know, wherever quality wines are, it helps the other Armenian producer.
As long as their people are competing healthy in a healthy way and learning to learn, wanting to learn from each other. I noticed that also. I get it here as well. There's a new Armenian wine brand coming out weekly, if not monthly or not weekly.
Yeah.
And over time, the good ones will rise to the top.
Mm-hmm.
The others will find their way around it. But that's part of the oversaturation of Armenian wines in Armenia and similarly in California.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a lot of Armenian wines on the market right in California and also in the United States because of that, we should be doing a better job of marketing and promoting Armenian wines.
Absolutely.
To grow the base.
Oh, you are preaching to the choir right now. I couldn't agree with you more. But let me tell you, considering even though there are Armenian wine brands out here right now, if every Armenian family purchased one bottle monthly, I'm
right.
not even saying daily,
uh-huh.
we would buy the entire production of Armenia.
Oh, no question.
And, you know, every Armenian has the opportunity to be a brand ambassador, not Armas brand, not any other wine brand, the Armenian wine brand, quality created in Armenia brand, and do it with pride. So a friend of mine always says, and I love this phrase, you know, we need to move from aid to trade. If we are patriotic, we care about our country and our nation's image and our growth and our standing in the world and who can or cannot, for whatever reasons, mess with us. First and foremost, we need to become a wealthy nation. It's
right.
really not rocket science. And to become a wealthy nation, we need to produce, export, and we need to have money come in from the outside. So tourism and production, perfect opportunities to do so. But purchasing a bottle of wine, it's not philanthropy, you know?
Right.
It's a win-win. It's a win-win. And gifting a bottle of wine. I mean, I have so many non-Armenian friends that tell me, you know, whenever which is funny because it should be the opposite. Literally last night I had this conversation and one of my friends, who's not Armenian. He says, you know, whenever I go to any Armenian's house, I always, with pride, take your wines. So it's kind of, it's a matter of respect and showing that I know and this. But every Armenian should do that the opposite way. Whenever they go anywhere, especially by non-Armenians, but anywhere, take wine, gift it, introduce it. If you know something about it, speak with it. But certainly at every celebration, and especially if you're a wine drinker, daily, weekly, whatever, at your home, stock up on the good stuff. And everyone can find something that is appropriate for them.
Correct.
You know, price
Case,
point.
Budget.
That's it. So make that simple. It's not even an effort. You go to purchase wine, choose Armenian. You go to purchase anything, really, if we're talking about quality or certain price, choose Armenian.
It's fun. You know, going back briefly to the brandies that you make, I've had some barrel samples of them.
Yes.
They're phenomenal.
I brought you one today as well.
Oh, my God. You should come back every day.
Right? Yeah.
Thank you. And to your point about us being ambassadors mm-hmm. of Armenian wine, that's what I do,
I know
to promote
you
the Armenian wines on multiple platforms and talk about wines, drink the wines, talk about them, meet wonderful people like you who are prime ambassadors of Armenian wines. And I agree with you. I used to, years ago, I came up with this thing who said, choose Armenian for a while, for a change, you know, or drink Armenian.
Right.
These are things that there should be a lot more of this happening, and
Absolutely.
It will be. Let's give it more time, and I think it will be.
I certainly hope so, because there's absolutely nothing that hinders that.
To that point of promoting, what kind of work do you think the Armenian government is doing to promote Armenian wines?
Well, certainly there's the Vine and Wine Foundation, the only one that Armenia has. And the reason why I state that, to put things in perspective, Georgia has over 50. Okay?
And I went to Tiflis after Armenia, mm-hmm. and I've been in touch with a lot of Georgian wineries and what the Georgian government is doing to promote Armenian wine. They're spending millions of dollars, Victoria, promoting Georgian wines from Japan, Tokyo, United States, all over the world. On a daily basis, I got 2-3 Google alerts from mm-hmm. about Georgian wines are doing this. They scored this point. They're tasting this one. They got mentioned in that magazine. It's just amazing, amazing promotion they're doing.
Yes, they take that industry very seriously,
yes.
as they should, because they see the cultural and economic value
Correct.
In it. Certainly, we've had our hands full with so much that has gone on over
that.
The last few years. And also, we have a different budget, right? Much, much different budget. Do I think that the government should and can do more? Absolutely. How much more? Well, time. But I will say, you know, it's great to have that support, and it's very small support. The Vine and Wine Foundation's budget has honestly been a bit of a joke in the past years, and every winemaker, especially those, and yes, it does, we feel it on our skins every day, right, have invested so much and continue to invest so much nonstop. It's nonstop investment. Winemakers know this. We joke about it. We make fun of ourselves. Like, we do this blindly, but we all love it. Anyway, I think it's great to have support, but when you don't, it also makes you stronger. But instead of relying on that, waiting on that, or complaining about that, certainly we voice our concerns whenever we have the opportunity to do so. But, you know, if the product sells, whether first and foremost, Armenian community is the best place to start, but we must grow from there, and we certainly have been, and we can talk about that a little bit as well. But if the market continues to grow, we have sales, we will continue to grow, others will continue to invest, and it will be this really positive snowball, so we don't have to wait for that government support. Certainly, if it was done, especially considering the story that we have, in terms of history, heritage, world's oldest winery, terroir, this, that, and the other, yes, we would make an immediate mark on the world. Chile did that as well. It's not Georgia.
Right.
Of course, we talk about Georgia because there are immediate neighbors.
Us.
Yes. So if tens of millions were now invested in promoting, choosing some key markets, for sure, we would, you know, catapult to the next level. And that would be incredible for all of us. But it is what it is. You know, it is what it is. So in the meantime, we need to really, really, I mean, people, every individual can take it seriously, knowing that countless people will benefit. It's not just for the benefit of one business or 250 businesses. You know, for when we started, there was maybe three wine brands, now over 250, which is great. Let's keep that going. Wonderful. But again, we would have success and grow as an industry, as a country, if the diaspora was a little bit involved. And again, it's just the difference of picking this up instead of that up. We're not asking anyone to go on a marathon run, you know?
I know many of the wineries in Armenia are part of the Vine and Wine Foundation, but not all the wineries are.
Right.
Is there another association of Armenian wineries that are apart from the governmental? Is there such an organization?
There is. There is also Wines of Armenia.
Okay, but that's a...
But that has nothing to do with the government.
Correct, but that's a sales organization. They're trying to sell wine in Europe.
Aside from Vine and Wine Foundation, no other government
I'm talking about non-government association of people like you, Karas, everybody else, Old Bridge, coming together, forming an association apart from the government to see how they can themselves. I think relying on the government is not always the best thing to do.
It's not.
Because government has their own agendas. They have their own ways of doing things. And every time there is money involved, you are dictated how you can spend it.
But we pay to be in the Vine and Wine Foundation as well.
I know that. However, having your own organization will give you a lot more leeway, a lot more freedom to do things which you otherwise are not able to do because of governmental regulations, what have you.
No, in terms of government regulations, nothing is a hindrance to us. But if there were some wineries collaborate with one another in small forms here and there. But the issue with that is if we created another such wine club or association, right, we would obviously have to have a budget for it.
Right.
Where is this budget coming from? Each producer.
Right.
Each producer, and I'm telling you, I mean, it involves, if you want high quality, it's non-stop investing. So you're saying, you know, if we're going to pool that money to market this, well, we have this one organization that's done, we'll do it ourselves.
Okay.
No, because, I mean, the thing is, again, it's a matter of having the budget. Right? If you're going to pool that money, then you'll spend it separately. Unless that organization was going to get a budget from elsewhere. That's why the Vine and Foundation works. But not only the only reason why it works. It works because at the helm, we have someone that is super passionate, Zara Muradyan, and has been, I've known her for 15 years now, and I know what a mark she's had on the industry, founding the Young Winemakers Association many, many, many years ago. And now as the president of the Vine and Wine. You know, someone that's honest, knows, and cares about the industry. So this is really, really important.
No, I know. I met her a few years back as well. She's wonderful. But I think her hands are sometimes tied given the budgetary restrictions.
Right. It is what it is. Well, maybe we can have a call to action. All I've been saying this whole time, right, is buy a bottle, buy a case. Because bottles turn to cases, to pallets, to containers, to change. But if there's someone who wants to, you know, give some money to the Vine and Wine Foundation, knowing that it would be spent properly and fairly, aid and trade, right? Of
that's
course.
That's a good phrase.
Thank you.
That's a good thing. Okay. What kind of grapes should Armenia be growing? And you know where I'm going with
this. I know exactly where you're going with this.
When I was in Armenia a few weeks ago, I was interviewed on CivilNet, and this question was raised. And, of course, your name came up during the interview.
I saw that interview.
And the question was, should Armenia be growing indigenous grape varietals, which we have at least identified at least 300 of them, or should we be growing European varietals as well? My answer was, why limit ourselves? We can do Armenian varietal. We can do the Arany and the Voskehad. We can do the Chardonnay and the Pinot Noir. And whatever else we can grow the best of coming on, from on our Armenian soil. Some of the most famous, most in-demand wines coming out of Italy are Bordeaux varietals. The Merlots. And I've had some phenomenal Chardonnay from Barolo region. So why not? What's your thinking on this?
I agree. I absolutely agree in that, well, first and foremost, everyone should do what they want,
right.
right? What they're passionate about.
Correct.
So as in life, and certainly in winemaking, we all have our philosophies and we all have what interests us more and what we want to promote. And if we want to be authentic about it and we want to be good at it, then absolutely we should do whatever it is that our heart or our palate is telling us to do. So certainly some people choose native grape varieties as we do. That's our philosophy. That's what I want to promote. That's what I want to drink. And, you know, it's bred from our soil and they're magnificent and in no way inferior to any European grape varieties. With that said, lots of people prefer European grape varieties locally and abroad. Why not give them that opportunity? And why not see what we can do with these varieties in our soil? So I think it's wonderful that we have the blend of that, to each their own. And again, whatever is going to, whatever we need to do to grow the market, and that is one of the ways. I know certainly that if when we released our first wines, which was at the very tail end of 2013, let's say 2014, so 10 years ago, I mean, wow, it was incredibly, incredibly difficult to promote the Armenian grape varieties. Just incredibly difficult.
Just saying Garmira must have been a challenge.
Exactly. The amount of times I've heard that. But, you know, I remind people, no one was born saying Cabernet Sauvignon or Gruna Vetlina, right? It was taught to them. Of course, it's our responsibility right. to teach that, and we continue to do so. But, again, if we started with native grape varieties, I know with European grape varieties, at that stage in the game, we certainly we would have had much more ease getting our foot into the door. But for us, this is more fulfilling. This is part of our vision. Now, those that create, and I have certainly tasted, for instance, Alexandria wines.
Right, very much so.
Yes. Oh, they have their own winemaker. They produce their wine in our facilities and have land in the vicinity. Using Armenian, using European grape varieties and sometimes with a blend of Armenian.
Correct.
Right? Fantastic wines. It's great. Anytime something is of high quality, it helps us all. And especially when you do it with love. And I know Adam Kablanyan does so as well. So
absolutely. And that Chardonnay that Alexandria makes is still an Armenian Chardonnay.
It is. Exactly. It's created in Armenia, period.
It's Armenian terroir, Armenian air, land, rain, sun that's producing that Chardonnay.
That's right.
Similar to that same terroir producing the Voskehat, the Kangoon, or the Areni.
Absolutely. And there's some people, you know, who that's the varieties they like. So that's cool, too.
Still, I mean, I don't see a problem with it.
I mean, in the market, like the consumer themselves.
No, correct. Right? So I have no problem with it. But some people have issues with that, which is their choice, obviously, to each his own, I suppose. But I think as long as we're producing the best Chardonnay we can in Armenia, the best Areni, the best Voskehat, the market will decide.
Exactly.
What's going to sell, what's going to move forward, what's going... It's just the market decides it.
It is. It's like, I've heard, for instance, some people say, you know, why am I going to try a Chardonnay from Armenia? If I want a Chardonnay, well, you know, I'll try it from Europe. And why try a Chardonnay when Armenia has native grape varieties? But there are people, also lots, who say, you know, I would love to see what kind of a Chardonnay would come out of Armenia. And then they prefer that. So it's great. Let's grow. Like, why do we need to judge each other on this matter or on any for that matter?
I'm seeing more and more people grow also a lot of Syrah lately because of its fruity nature and fruit-forward nature. Mm-hmm. And they think that would make not only a standalone varietal, single varietal, but also a nice blend with some Areni or some other tartar grapes to round them off maybe.
Sure.
It's a time will tell.
Time will tell. You're not going to see that from Armas, though.
Okay.
Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe my kids will do that.
Why not?
Yeah. I'm going to stick to the Garmadahut, which is my personal favorite grape. Red grape, Voskehat after that. But it's incredible. I mean, it's just to be discovered. And, you know, they have the wine, the grapes map with all the different varieties on it. We need to have those Armenian grapes on that map. So I wholeheartedly and, you know, promote this. And I think when people have a chance to discover it, they see it. So it's a matter of time that Garmadahut will also roll off people's tongues.
Absolutely. Like Gewürztraminer does.
There you go.
Are your vineyards organic?
You know, we try to be as organic as we can.
Organic, practicing organics.
Right, right. But we're not certified organic. Actually, only one company has been certified organic in Armenia. And then they kind of stopped making that wine, as far as I know. Here's the thing. So, okay, for instance, we recycle every part of the grape or every part of whatever nature gives us. So the stems we collect, the white skins and seeds of the skins and seeds of the white grapes we don't use in winemaking. We shred it, we compost it with cow dung, which makes the best natural fertilizer for the fields. We only spray out of necessity, not, you know, every set so often. So the most important thing is that we have the absolute best raw material that we can. Over 100 hectares, first of all, it requires a completely different oversight to be certified organic. Right. And again, it's not part of my personal philosophy. I'm not a huge fan of organic wines. I am a fan of organic food, right? The best raw material. So same thing with cooking, same thing with wine. Whatever you start with, that's the most important, and then what you do with that thereafter. So we try to have the best grapes, but again, being certified, taking that time, effort, this and that, for being part of a very small niche market, and also creating wines that I'm just, it's not my favorite. I can always appreciate the good wine. Actually, I've had quality organic wine, I must say. For instance, Tufenkian's wine. So, but in terms of production, again, it's just not what we're doing.
Is your practice similar to other practice among other vineyards in Armenia? Is it similar?
In certain basic senses, yes. In certain regards, no. I remember one of the most difficult things for me in the very, very beginning years when I started this, I thought there was such a thing as right and wrong. Boy, was I wrong. I mean, really. You know, so, of course, I studied. I took some courses with UC Davis. I did a lot of self-study, but the best education that I had was working in the vineyards and the winery for years. I mean, we didn't get out of there for years. But what I noticed is that everyone has opinions. Everyone has the proper way of doing things. Everyone has what they consider right and wrong. And you just have to find your own path and see what works there at that moment and depending on what you want to achieve. So it really, really depends how you're going to, you know, plant the vines, how you're going to care for them, how many times you're going to water, whether it's going to be organic. Are you going to spray? Are you going to be biodynamic? Do you want 5 tons or 20? Well, you can't really get 20 tons. You can try. But, you know, how much yield do you want? Mm-hmm. When will you harvest? I mean, there are so many. Again, it's like cooking. There are some base things that you know, you can use. You can utilize basic knowledge and certain know-how. But at the end of the day, what will you do with that? What are you going to create? I mean, a lot of which I love. I think so many things in life are like that. It's a science and an art.
It is.
You know, it's something concrete and abstract. So it's magic and reality.
Indeed. Nowadays, amber or orange wines have become very, very popular. Do you have any plans to make?
No. I personally, honestly, I just don't like them, like at all.
Okay.
Again, I can appreciate, but I'm not going to go for that second glass.
Okay.
It's just
very well.
Yeah.
I know this is a very difficult question to ask you.
Okay.
What's your favorite Armas wine?
You know, it's the easiest question. Anyone who knows me knows this, of course. My personal favorite is the Armas Rosé, made from the Carmarajute grape, the grape which, unlike 99% of grapes in the world, the juice is red. I always joke, of course, as Armenians, we had to have one of these 1% grapes. Of course, we have a couple. But Carmarajute, for me, is just wow. We use the free run only, so that's the noble juice. We created like a white wine, no skin contact whatsoever. You have this fabulous ruby red color.
Yet it's
flavor.
Very, because of its color,
right?
It's a dark rosé.
It's a very dark rosé. But, you know, you get the flavor and aroma of the full body, but it's when you drink it, it's light. And you get to drink it cold. And if you choose, a lot.
Yes.
Right? So that's my personal, that's my go-to for sure. But I will say, in my opinion, our finest wine is our Karmadahut Reserve. Right. And the Karmadahut Reserve is aged in oak, Armenian oak, and French oak for 2 to 2.5 years, depending. And it's had the highest accolades, so Editor's Choice and 92 points in Wine Enthusiast. It was featured in Forbes. We have it at several, like 3 Michelin star restaurants throughout the world, some of the best restaurants in Beverly Hills as well. So, like in Wally's, soon Rooftop at Waldorf Astoria, this has been the wine that has kind of opened the doors. It is ridiculously underpriced, I will say.
But let's keep it that way.
Yeah. As long as we can.
Right.
No, it's great. I mean, I want it to be accessible, but unfortunately, as you know, and as a lot of people know in any production, sometimes people buy based on price.
That's true.
So they say, you know, well, we don't buy anything less than 50 or 100. And I say, well, you know, buy 2 or 4. But people think that, you know, because it's very modestly priced, considering that we're on a vintage that's nearly 10 years old, we're on the 2015.
You hold back a long time.
We do, especially the Karmadahut, because it's very rich in tannins. And if you want to do the aging gracefully, properly, and not add a little bit chemistry to speed that up, right, to soften the tannins, then you need to bottle age it. So we take that time, not just for our reserve wines. The reserve goes in the barrel and then the bottle. The Karmadahut base, we keep it in the bottle for at least 5 years before we release it. Wow. Because it becomes an incredible entry level, no less, but an incredible, incredible wine. So I'm so proud of actually all of our wines, but the Karmadahut Reserve is next level. As Emilio, our winemaker, says, you know, this is the important wine. It's an important wine. I mean, it really is. It's like a fine, it gives you the impression of a very elegant old world wine, which is not the way that I intend to compliment it. It is just an incredible wine created in Armenia, and anyone who understands or appreciates wine will see that immediately. So,
besides your wines and maybe some other Armenian, where's your favorite wine region outside of Armenia?
Outside of Armenia, it's Saint-Emilion. But okay. Again, my philosophy is when in Rome. So wherever I am, I have my Armas Rosé with me always. But of course, I love tasting wines, and I love that people knowing that how much I love wine, they always offer me some incredible, incredible wines, known or absolutely unknown, mm-hmm, from all over the world. And I can appreciate any wine that's clean, you know, created well, and the passion, you feel it. You feel it. I mean, for me personally, you feel it. The wine either speaks to you,
yes,
or it doesn't.
Speaks to your soul.
It really, really does. And the moment that happens, and I remember the first time that that happened with me outside of our wines. Of course, I love our wines. We birthed it. Of course, it means the world to me. I mean, I love it. I appreciate it. But until a certain point, and of course, this is something that develops over time, okay, kinda. I liked wine, but I was in my 20s, you know what I mean? And I was introduced to the wine world rather late.
Right.
But I distinctly remember a moment, and it was at the World Wine Symposium, the Davos du Vin, which took place in Lake Como at Villa d'Este, this incredible, incredible event, where, thanks to our efforts, and I mean efforts, I'll tell you that story later. But Armenia had the place of honor there that year. So I was there, and our winemaker came as well. And we had I had a chance not only to present, but there were wine producers from all over the world. I mean, it was magnificent. And every night, Michelin star meals paired with all of these different wines. And I remember having this glass of wine, and Amelia was sitting right next to me, because 2 years prior to that, we started, this was in 2012. So 2 years prior to that, I said, you know, Emilio, I love it, and slowly this and that, but I see the way that you are towards wine, and I just don't feel that way yet. You know, something is missing. It needs to develop. I don't know. I mean, I would feel horrible if it never did, you know? Can you imagine if it was like, no, Armas, that's it. Like, that's not right.
No, of course not.
But I remember having this glass of wine, and the coincidence of this, oh my goodness. And like immediately something happened. I just felt it. I felt like love flowed through me. The only time I had kind of had that kind of a connection, I mean, it was incredible. It was just like this fantastic wine, and I just felt something. And later I found out it was created by a woman. I'm like, okay, makes sense. That to actually added bonus.
Bonus.
And it was from St. Emilian region. It was just amazing. It was amazing.
Merlot,
and I've been appreciating
Merlot can everything. Be phenomenal.
Yes, it can. Yeah. You know, so.
What's the most rewarding part of your job?
Oh, there's so many. Certainly enjoying the wines. But that's not the most rewarding, I will say. The most rewarding is knowing that we have actively been part of this massive change. And on many different levels, right? So every single day with the farmers, with the young winemakers, just at work. And then at large, right? Creating an industry, creating the market, creating this positive impression of our country. Actually, not creating the impression so much as promoting it, just talking about it because it exists, right? So that's very, very rewarding. I will say on a personal level also, you know, whenever I have time, I take time to have certain speeches or interactions with young people. And for sure, I'm very proud that for a lot of young Armenian women, you know, they see change in not just our industry, but at large of what can be done and in what manner. Because as Armenian women, you know, we're raised a certain way. And so we have difficulties in the business world because the way that we're raised is very different from what you need in the business world.
Right.
And so
however, Armenian women are thriving in the wine business.
Absolutely.
And I'm really proud and happy about it.
Me too.
There's so many women involved in all aspects of the winemaking, wine trade, wine promotion, starting from you, Zara, many
Absolutely.
Women who are very much involved. And I'm so proud and happy about it.
Me too. It brings me great pride. In fact, Wine Enthusiast, which I'm sure your listeners know, it's among the most reputable wine publications
Correct.
In the U.S., wrote an article titled along the lines of Armenian Women Changing the Industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, truly, what a great honor it was for us.
Absolutely.
Not just those of us that were featured, but just us, you know?
No question. I mean, that's a result of hard work, mm-hmm. perseverance, and seeing a future in the wine industry.
Absolutely.
And wanting to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so of course, you know, this growth, development, change, and despite all of the difficulties, always finding within oneself that desire to celebrate.
You might have already answered this, but your title is a CEO of the mm-hmm. winery, correct? Mm-hmm. But what is your real job?
Anywhere between waitress, tour guide, to CEO, owner, taster. That's my favorite part.
Many. You wear many hats, as
of
you
course
wear one
not.
Today.
Yeah, well, absolutely. No, you know, anyone who owns the business knows that your job is
absolutely.
Everything. You always try to focus. You always try to manage properly. But really, your job is everything.
You make your job and make sure that company is moving forward.
Exactly.
And the customers are happy.
Yeah, and whatever else you have to
absolutely.
Do.
We alluded to this a little bit earlier. Let's talk about wine tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, there was a UN conference on wine tourism, which you took part of that.
We did.
And that was a great opportunity for Armenia to be in the forefront of the international wine tourism focus and brought together a lot of people from all over the world mm-hmm. to have a conference about wine tourism, and about Armenian wines. And tell us about, you participated in the conference. Please tell us about it a little bit.
So I was one of the speakers, which was a great honor. We also had many guests from that conference that visited Armas, and not just Armas. Several wineries
right.
were chosen, and they had master classes there, and professionals from all over the world visited to share their know-how, their experiences, whether they were just in the industry or producers themselves. Of course, anything organized by the UN, it's going to be at a certain level, which is so wonderful to bring that to Armenia. And also it helps bring Armenia to the world.
Correct.
So it was a great honor that Armenia was chosen as the site of the UN Wine Tourism Conference. And yet again, any such opportunity where we get to tell our story, promote, and just, you know, share, spread the word. spread the word. So I was very, very happy with that, and I hope we have many such events happen in the future. And I'm sure we will.
What's next for Armenian wines?
Growth. Growth, absolutely. Absolute growth. Non-stop growth. And, of course, this is very contingent upon the growth of the market. And so we need to be serious about that as well. You know, it's not all just... It's very serious, especially recently, as I'm sure you know. The wine industry, generally speaking, has been a little bit less active
right.
all over the world. So we really, really need to keep that momentum. We need to keep that momentum going, and we need to continue to create fine wines, use the best of what nature gave us, promote, and hopefully inspire, if not sometimes, depending on how close you are with the people you're speaking with. But, you know, just flat out ask for people to help in whatever way they can or participate. Help is not the right word. Maybe help as well, but nonetheless. So we need to take the industry and the growth of it seriously. The potential is huge. The infrastructure is there. The wines are fantastic. It's a win-win. Let's do this.
You know, I was in, as you know, I was in Armenia a few weeks ago, and I had a chance to taste a lot of Armenian wines, which I had never tasted before because they're not available in the United States. Mm-hmm. There were some which were exceptionally great. Mm-hmm. There were some who were mediocre. Mm-hmm. And some not even mediocre.
I know.
But, I mean, that's okay because the market will determine
right.
what's going to improve. Our focus should be on sticking with quality,
absolutely.
The best that we can make from our soil, our history, our culture, mm-hmm. our 6,200 years history, mm-hmm. and bring about to the market top quality wines at different price points so that the wines are not price prohibitive. Yet they're still getting a quality wine. You don't have to spend $100 to get a good bottle of wine. You can spend $25 to get a great bottle of Armenian wine.
Absolutely.
And that's where our focus should be. And I'm really happy that there's you and there are people like you who are making that effort. You're not passionate enough, Victoria. What can I say?
I want to share one more thing. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I want to share one more thing, which
please.
Is a huge milestone that we've had. And I'm so proud about that. Just a few months ago, six of our wines got into total wines, all of the 40 total wines throughout California.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. It is a really, really big deal. So I ask every Armenian, whenever, especially you're outside of Los Angeles, pick up a bottle because this milestone will open other states. And this will eventually, once we have a handful more and perhaps more after that, Armenian wines. And there are a couple of more that are available. We need to find our row. Not under other wines. We need to have the Armenia category exactly represented. So hopefully that's what's next for the industry, that mm-hmm. we have our section in places like Total Wine, like Costco, like the biggest wine retailers all throughout.
Correct.
And on restaurants. Like
wine lists.
Exactly. So that's what's next, I think. We're certainly working towards that. And every bottle counts.
Absolutely. Every bottle counts. Again, thank you very much for coming today. I'm really happy that you're here.
Thank
Great
you.
Seeing you once again.
Always.
And I look forward to tasting your wines tomorrow at Guinea Fest. And thank you very much. And remember, always drink the good stuff. Cheers, everybody.